ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Time for our weekly dose, if you like, of health and fitness. Here is Professor Gordon Lynch. G'day to you.
G'day, Tim. Good to be with you.
Yeah, and you. Living with Parkinson's disease and what you do about it, as far as exercise is concerned. But firstly, what is Parkinson's?
Yeah, Parkinson's disease, it affects about 1 in 350 Australians. It's Australia's second most common neurological disease after dementia, and it affects approximately 10 million people worldwide. Mm. And the sort of symptoms that Parkinson's disease patients get, they develop slowly over time and they vary greatly between person to person. And they can have tremor or shaking. Mm. They can have stiff muscles. Their movements may be slowed. Their posture can often be stooped. They can shuffle when they walk, and they can feel lethargic. And another thing is that sometimes they have very small handwriting. It's called micrographia.
Wow.
As a symptom. So very interesting. It's caused by a progressive degeneration of nerve cells in the middle area of the brain, which actually reduces the amount of dopamine that the brain produces. Now, dopamine is what we call a neurotransmitter. It's a chemical messenger, and it helps our muscles to perform in a smooth, controlled way. So if you don't have enough dopamine, that sort of explains why the muscles can tremor. While you might have balance problems, often the muscles of the face aren't able to contract as properly. You can have a stiff facial expression. Your speech can be affected. So, these sorts of the networks that control movement being disrupted. Our memory can be affected. Our mood is affected as well. They don't actually the exact cause isn't known, but researchers are investigating a range of possibilities. It could be toxins or genetic factors, pesticides, chemicals, head trauma could be another factor. So, it's a pretty serious issue affecting many Australians and many around the world. But we need to know what we can do about it if we're living with it.
Gee, head trauma. Some very famous sufferers of Parkinson's, and Muhammad Ali, of course. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house when Michael J. Fox came up at the BAFTAs and gave that speech, and Billy Connolly too. And I suppose high-profile people like that shine a light on it and help us understand it a bit better?
They do. And I think the awareness when we have someone that we identify with having that condition, and that goes across many different diseases and conditions. When we see someone experiencing that has a profile, it really enhances our awareness and hopefully will encourage more deeper understanding and how hopefully we can cure these terrible conditions.
Indeed. Okay, so Parkinson's and the risk of having a fall.
Yeah, so when I mentioned about this tremor and loss of balance, I think one of the most debilitating problems, Tim, for people that have this disease is that they can have trouble balancing, even when they're standing. So walking becomes difficult, of course, but of course that means if you're losing your balance, you're at greater risk of having falls. And although things like the tremor can sometimes be relieved by drug therapy, the balance issues and the walking problems typically aren't helped as well. So there could be further deteriorations with the balance and so on. So anytime someone has that sort of issue, it's a balance problem with Parkinson's or another chronic condition, it's very important that you do activities safely to reduce the risk of falling.
Okay, so this is where you come in. Can exercise help?
Yeah. Exercise can reduce the severity of Parkinson's disease symptoms and it can slow the progression of disease. So this is backed up by the Parkinson's Foundation in the United States and the Parkinson's Australia site as well. They state that exercise is increasingly accepted as what we call an adjunct treatment for Parkinson's disease. It's not a cure, but it's one of those treatments that can help. So, patients who do these sorts of exercise programs, they report feeling better, having more confidence, they have more endurance. I mentioned lethargy as one of those symptoms. They have more strength to have some level of physical independence. And of course, I mentioned before, Tim, that the symptoms can vary between patients. Some having more severe symptoms, they're able to do less than others that may have fewer symptoms. But if you have Parkinson's disease or another condition that affects your balance or your strength, you really must consult with your doctor or specialist. Before you hear about someone talking about exercise, if you've got these conditions, you've got to consult with your specialist first. If you do get the all clear, and that will be, your certain types of exercises will be recommended, others not so, I'd suggest you consider having an accredited exercise physiologist or a clinical exercise physiologist who works with patients or a specialist physiotherapist. Get them to help you design an exercise program that's personalized to your needs, because based upon the symptoms that you have, or look for classes that are specifically tailored for people that have these balance problems. So I think that's a general statement about why exercise can be helpful.
Yes, and it will vary person to person, won't it? I mean, if you're a fit person and tragically get diagnosed with Parkinson's, you might be inclined to exercise, but if you're not, maybe you wouldn't. So generally, what sort of activities would be beneficial, do you think?
Yeah, so there are some general recommendations, and an organisation that I'm associated with closely is the American College of Sports Medicine.
Right.
And they've consulted and done these recommendations with Parkinson's Foundation in the US and so on. They've recommended the inclusion of specific balance exercises, but 150, the general things we talk about on the show every week, 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous exercise per week, with people living with Parkinson's, it's very, very similar sort of recommendations. But there's a need, of course, to be mindful if you're changing medications, if you're a patient, you need to allow time for the body to adapt to that change. If it's a dose issue or whatever, the body has to have a time to adapt to that. But if we think about the specifics, if we think about aerobic exercises, 3 days a week, 30 minutes of a session of continuous or intermittent movements at moderate or vigorous intensity. It could be walking or it could be running if you can. As you mentioned, some people may be more fitter than others already.
Yep.
But cycling exercises, aerobic classes, swimming, all of those things are important. But they also emphasize the need to be safe. So you may need to be supervised. So always is about checking with your specialist. I mentioned a lot about walking on treadmills as a good way of doing things, but that may not be recommended in many of these cases if balance is an issue. So it's about exercising safely. So some things will be favoured. Other things would suggest not to. So I also mentioned every week almost about strength training. And that's also a recommendation, Tim, for Parkinson's disease patients as well. So a couple of sessions a week where there's a focus on the major muscle groups to try and increase the strength. And it could be, you consider body weight exercises.
Mm.
It could be push-ups or lunges, those sorts of things. But you can also increase the resistance bands or free weights. Or if you exercise at a fitness centre, you may have access to all the whiz-bang machines and so on. That's lovely too, and it may be a safer approach for many people. It's all about safety. So if you need to know what you're doing, how you perform the exercises and so on. The other things I think are important, we mentioned about balance. And I think what the recommendations from these organisations is that patients do two or more sessions a week on specific balance exercises and agility exercises where they're doing sort of multi-directional movements, say lunging and shifting your body weight in a safe manner.
Yeah.
Things like yoga, tai chi, dancing is another thing that's been favoured.
Right.
But again, when it comes back to safety, they're suggesting, if there's, make sure there's walls there so they can hang on to those, push or hold on to them, grab bars if possible, or if you have a spotter to do the exercises, that could be done. In many cases, you need to be exercising in a supervised environment. Now, last week, Tim, when I was talking with David Pryor, we were talking about the hidden benefits of stretching exercises for general health, and they pop up again for recommendations for Parkinson's disease patients as well. So doing a few sessions a week of dedicated stretching exercises, range of motion around joints. Some stretches may not be appropriate, depending upon the condition that someone has. So again, if you've got any of those sorts of bone or pain issues, make sure you check with your doctor what's appropriate and what's not. It's really about safety.
Let's stress that again. Please, folks, check with your GP before you do anything, Yep.
Absolutely, because some people may have, and we mentioned about the symptoms of Parkinson's, some may be at a more advanced stage, others in the early stage, and this is where it needs to be a sensible approach to how exercise may fit with all the other things that we can do towards treating the patient.
And gee, you know, when you talk about 150 minutes a week spread over the week, it's not a lot, is it, to do?
If we look at it that way, Tim, I think we can say, yeah, it's very confronting for people who have really very busy lives to say, got to devote this time. But if, as you say, you spread it out across the course of the week, we can start, if we put health as our priority, and this is whether we have Parkinson's disease or another condition, or we're lucky enough to be healthy without those conditions, it doesn't matter. We've got to put health as a priority, and that means let's prioritise the time that we can dedicate towards keeping that way.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, the message to take home, listeners, is find a routine that's enjoyable and effective for you.
Yeah, and I know the emphasis has been about people living with Parkinson's, and remember that their abilities and symptoms will differ and so on. They'll have different mobility levels. So working with a physiotherapist or a clinical exercise physiologist, creating a personalised routine, making sure it's enjoyable and effective. And it's all about consistency, and that goes without saying. So maybe if you can't work out by yourself, if you're in a group activity, they can be very good because, you know, there's camaraderie when you're with a group together. You can motivate each other. You can also have some level of accountability with one another to make sure you're being consistent with your training. But as you say, the take-home message, I think it goes for everyone, is that we find an exercise that we enjoy, something that we're going to stick with, and we just be consistent with it. So the benefits of those exercises will accumulate over time. We need to make it challenging in certain ways, but as long as we're enjoying what we're doing, it should be something we should be relishing, not loathing when we're doing it.
Not going, oh, no, I've got to do that again. No, you don't want that, do you?
You don't want that. And you just want something which is going to be, certainly you enjoy, but it's got to be effective as well. It's got to be something that's going to be getting us to another level of health through fitness improvements. But if we're talking about a serious condition like Parkinson's, we think we really know now that exercise has a place, and that different patients at different levels of the progression of the disorder can benefit from exercise.
Makes perfect sense as usual. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
And you can find Gordon on X. He is the moniker at Gordon S. Lynch, Professor Gordon Lynch. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.